Hi, this is Carrie, and welcome to Tandem Talks, a podcast meant to empower you to live your life your way.
And I'm Craig. Join us as we go deeper with entrepreneurs and their journey creating success in business and life. Hey, Tandem Talk listeners, this is Craig and Carrie, and we're here with another episode with our friend out on the West Coast here, Marcus Chan. And Marcus has a wonderful background, and you all are going to really enjoy hearing from him today. In fact, as soon as he got on to say hi to us, he brought the energy and the excitement and enthusiasm, and I got more excited. So you will be as soon as you hear him talk. He has actually been, he's got a lot of accomplishments, but one of the top is that he is a executive council member of Forbes, which is pretty amazing. So congrats on that. He has also been featured as a Salesforce, top in the sales department there. His business is as a co-founder of a company called Venly, where he helps essentially B2B business salesmen or saleswomen take it next level, right? Like seriously next level. He's got a very diverse background in sales, but also now is an entrepreneur, starting his own company, doing some side hustling. He'll have a very authentic spin on all of that. And we've been following your content online and been trading barbs back and forth, so to speak. And it's always fresh. It's always legit. It's always real. It's not like a canned something or other. It's like, I know it either came from you or somewhere the impetus of you. And so we appreciate that. And there's a lot of topics I'm fired up to get into, but maybe just really briefly, quick background, how you got to where you are. You know, I know you've got the big solid corporate background and you've got some other accomplishments here, but we'll get into more of the content so we can charm the audience with your knowledge versus just your credentials. Right. So take it away. Give us a quick overview and how'd you get to where you're at?
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, Craig and Carrie, thank you so much for having me on. So you're giving me a huge head here. I'm just a regular dude out here out in Portland, Oregon. So first off, I'm pumped to be here. I'm really pumped to be here. And, before I started my business, I was in corporate America for over 14 plus years. I was in B2B sales up to executive sales leadership roles. And what's interesting is, yes, I've been an entrepreneur, a business owner for a year and a half now. That was never a goal, right? So it all started 6 years ago, and that eventually turned into something bigger than I expected, right? And created an opportunity for me to turn it into a main hustle, in which once I launched 18 months ago, I've been able to go 100% all in and, launch it from there and just have a lot of, fun and success with it. Obviously, it comes with challenges and obstacles like anything else, but it's been an incredible journey. But I'm super happy to be here. So thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. So, you started out in sales and then moved into management, executive roles, won a lot of awards. Sales is such a crucial component of success in the entrepreneurial world, right? And so what we see is a lot of people who are good at a technical skill, but then they're not the salesperson. Like they don't have the big personality. Like they don't walk into the room and make it sparkle. I've got more of an analytic background. I call myself an ambivert of entrepreneurship, but also an ambivert in life. So I'm not an extrovert. I'm not an introvert. I'm like right on the line. So for people getting going in the entrepreneurial game, can you just speak a little bit to some things that you do to help people get out of their shell or to just open up a little bit and let go and not try to be too controlling or worrying about people think of them? I mean, there's so many ways to attack that, I know, but what are a top couple things that maybe come to your mind to help someone who wants to sell, but they're just like not comfortable with it. They're not doing it maybe.
Well, they want to create revenue. They don't necessarily want to sell.
Bingo. Right. Bingo.
Oh yeah. So first off, I'm also a tested ambivert, just so you know. So I fall right in the middle.
Fantastic.
Well, oh, yeah. I need my alone time. I get worn out in crowds after a while. Okay, so I get that. But yeah, a few different things, right? And just so you know, like even when I first started my business, I was able to take a lot of things I learned in the B2B sales world to apply to my business. So some of the things that I do and the beliefs and mindsets I have, it didn't happen overnight. It wasn't like I was an entrepreneur and suddenly I had this mindset. A lot of it stemmed from, even early on in my first role, it was building a brand new startup. We had zero clients. It was built from ground zero. So I made a lot of mistakes early on that's really helped me with my business. I kind of want to kind of preface that because But I'm going to share with you right now, these are some things that you can do immediately. It's going to help you. But I think one of the first things really important to understand, especially if you are maybe a technical entrepreneur who has a really great product or offer or service, the first thing you must really internalize is you have to have pure belief that what you have to offer can truly help your target market. That's the first thing, because if you don't truly believe that you know you can help, you know, your target market X, Y, Z, whoever that person is, if you don't truly believe it, it's going to be very hard for you to do that to them. And there's no one else. You can hire salespeople, but they're not going to be able to convey the same passion and things that you are excited about. First thing is, number one, internalize that you can truly help them. It's having that belief. You know, I've always explained this way. Imagine as if your target market, your potential prospect is really, really sick, but you have the cure. Your offer, your solution is a cure. So when they come to you or you go to them, you should be confused if they do not want your offer. You should be shocked and baffled. You should be like, what? You are sick. I can literally help you. I'm not going to let you leave the doctor's office without getting cured, right? So it's having that mindset. It's really, number one, really understanding that, okay? Number two is also being able to truly, number two is understand your target market. Understand what do they truly want? What are their needs, wants, desires? The mistake I see many entrepreneurs make is they get so focused on their product, their offer, the solution, they get caught in the features and benefits, but they're only thinking from their perspective, but not the prospect's perspective. So when they're having conversations or their copy or their marketing, it's so focused on what they believe is important versus what the target market believes to be important. And it should always pass what I call the whisper test. And what the whisper test is if you imagine your target market is at dinner in a COVID-friendly area, obviously, with their spouse, and they're having an amazing romantic dinner, right? And it's awesome. And they don't know who you are, but you go up to them, and they're deep in conversation, and you whisper in your target market's ear, I know you have desire 1, 2, and 3. I know you have pains 1, 2, and 3. I know these things keep you up at night 1, 2, and 3. And I can help you solve all these things. And that target market, when you whisper those into their ear, they say, oh, wow. So they immediately leave their spouse and they go with you, rush away, because they want to hear exactly what you have to say. So that means when you understand, internalize that, that means you are speaking their language now. So it's important to understand what's their language you are speaking. That's going to help you connect better to them. Most of the time, they don't care about the features. They care about what can you do for them, what's the desired end result they can get from them. So understand that. So you have belief, understand that. And then the next thing is you want to make sure, this is for a lot of salespeople, or for a lot of entrepreneurs, you want to make sure you have great top of the funnel work, okay? And I'm not saying you have to be great and gregarious everywhere you go, but it's more so like top of the funnel, like, do you have a lead gen system that's is consistently pumping you leads nonstop, whether it's inbound or outbound?
Yes.
And you really need to have a diverse amount because this should be across the board, right? Whether it's from, you know, posting content on any of the platforms, you know, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn, to doing direct outreach, cold outreach, emails, cold calls, to paid traffic, whatever it's going to be, podcasts, whatever. You need to have ways to generate nonstop leads for your business. Because when you do that consistently, it's going to help you with the sales part of your business. The mistake most people make is most entrepreneurs don't have necessarily a closing issue. They usually have a funnel lead issue. They don't have enough leads in their funnel.
Yep.
So they end up getting scrappy. They end up not getting the business they want. They have up and down months, right? But
yeah, they end up overselling to the wrong people and then being frustrated because that person doesn't really want what they have to offer. They're not really sick, right?
100%.
And so then you're playing at the bottom of the funnel, like spending too much time there. So thank you for talking to that. Yes. Keep going.
Yes. Sorry. Oh, no, you're spot on, right? So like you want to consistently load the funnel. So having multiple sources. Now, that doesn't mean like tomorrow you're going to choose like 10 platforms and go all crazy. Well, yep. Just pick one, start getting really good with that, start mastering, start working on that, and start diversifying out. You know, if you're going to be producing content out there, are you creating pillar content that you can splice up and diversify out? Can you outsource? Can you pay someone to do it, right? So these are things that's really important as a business owner, entrepreneur, because you need to have multiple lead sources, right? Mm-hmm. The next thing, which is also really important to understand too, that kind of ties all together is you want to understand where your customers are in the journey. And when you think about from a sales perspective, from a wholesale perspective, most of the time, you know, when people first start a business up, they first go after all their friends and family, okay? Those are the lowest hanging fruit, right? Like, hey, I have this new offer. Are you excited? Do you want to buy it, etc.? And you're gonna squeeze those pretty quickly, right? And if you keep hitting them pretty hard, they're gonna just not like you anymore, right? So you can only do it for so long.
Yeah.
So everyone else at that point is either gonna be warm or cold. And if you think about that, if they're completely cold, they know nothing about you. So if you go over there just trying to pitch your offer or whatever, most of them are just like, get out of here. This is why we see on LinkedIn so many bad DM pitches. It's the worst, right? Because you don't know anything about them, and now they're just hammering you to book time on the calendar.
Yeah.
But if you think about it from a customer's journey perspective, they don't know who you are. So it's really the old school AIDA, attention, interest, decision, action. You don't have their attention yet, right? Or their awareness. So you got to start there first. So that means your outreach, your copy, your marketing has to bring awareness and attention first before you get them to interest, then to decision, then to action. But the mistake some people make is they go right into decision action and how they approach things. They put a post on LinkedIn. Hey, I'm open booking for my calendar. Hey, buy this. Hey, buy that. Well, they haven't hit the A or the I yet. So they're not quite down the funnel yet. So understand where they are on the funnel can really help you with your sales system.
Yeah. Beautiful. I mean, that sounds book worthy. You clearly know your stuff. So take it away. We'll keep going.
Well, and Marcus, I love how you talk about the belief factor, and not just on an intellectual level believing in your offering, but on a heart level, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that's where a lot of people get tripped up. Just like, well, I believe in my product, and it's like a total cognitive process for them versus really, really deep. So the thing I'd love to hear, because I just get pretty jacked up when I hear entrepreneurs talk about the work ethics, and I know you've got a beast work ethic, but I think it's important to debunk that, because I think people look at Instagram, they looked at the highlight reel on LinkedIn, and it sometimes makes entrepreneurship look really glamorous and really easy, and it's all end game stuff. So I'd love if you could speak to the audience a little bit on like, what's the work habits, and was there any point in your journey where you're like, man, this is tough. Like, I should just go back to my, you know, six-figure corporate career and just like take it a little easier. Like, what was sort of the mindset for you in that early journey?
Yeah. So I'll tell you right now, it's early on. I loved it. They said, there's a very fine line between self-employment and unemployment. And it's so true because every day as a business owner, you essentially are 100% commission. That's what you are. Like, you either are generating revenue or you're not generating revenue. So, you know, work ethic is absolutely vital. You have to have a good work ethic, but it's really important to focus on the right things that are going to move the needle. Now, when I made that leap from corporate America to, you know, doing this full time, it was a really scary leap. I had a big team. I had over 100 plus employees. I mean, I was making close to seven figures a year. I mean, I was like, life is really, really good, especially with that type of lifestyle. But I was traveling nonstop. There's a lot of stress. My blood pressure actually reduced. I actually improved 15% a month after I left corporate America, which is crazy. I'm like, that's weird. I would have thought I would have gone up, right? So, my point is like, you can always go back. Right. I knew that. I knew if this didn't work out what I was doing, I could always go back. Mm-hmm. That was always a fail. So I could always have a job. I could always be a VP or president somewhere. I knew I could always do that. But I also knew for me, I knew my whys. That's the first thing. I understand what truly drives me. Because if you don't know your why, it's really hard to do the tough things. And it has to be beyond just external things of making money or winning awards or buying cars or cool toys, whatever. Even kids, I think many people like to say my wife's my kids, for sure. But there are days where you just don't like your kids. Let's be real here. Right? There's some days you're like, come on, like why'd you do that?
46 minutes ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So, so you have to have a deeper why. So that's first thing. So, before I even start my journey into this, I knew my whys were to leave an impact, influence, to have to leave a legacy, and show people I really love and care and everything I do. So I understood that first off. So that really was key for feeding the work ethic. So, you know, when I started diving in, what was also really important too is I wanted to make sure that I was productive and not busy. So for me, it was really uncovering, breaking down, okay, what are the most important tasks that I'm doing that's going to lead to the right desired results? Yep. Because there's short-term tasks and long-term tasks. You know, because some people, it's like, they go on LinkedIn, they're just posting randomly, but they're not generating revenue, right? It has to be intentional now with everything that you do. So I made sure, number one, I knew exactly what were my IPAs, income producing activities. Mm-hmm. And then I built that into my routine from start to finish for each day. That was really important to me. So I knew each day when I got done, regardless of the amount of incoming dollars, I was doing things that's going to generate future revenue.
Yep.
And that was really, really important. So that I started mapping out my schedule. And it's not glamorous, right? It's like, I mean, you know, especially early on, like you don't see, like you walk in with really high expectations of yourself. You see the glamour of entrepreneurship. But I'll give you an example. A typical day for me is kind of like this, even right now. So I'll wake up at 5 a.m., right? I'll go change, brush my teeth. I'll go work out. I have a whole morning routine to get myself primed up. Once I'm primed up, ready to rock, 6:30, I've been doing my first post on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn for about 45 minutes, an hour, and I'm out there just engaging with my target market. You know, driving traffic, driving leads is all I'm doing, okay? And then from there, it's shifted a little bit now, but then from there, I get my kiddo ready. Kiddo gets all ready, you know, hand off to the nanny, boom. Now I'm back, right? I'll spend the next hour now checking on my team. I have a couple employees that work for me, checking on them, their VAs, make sure they're totally good, make sure everything, the machine's running, all my numbers, all my metrics, all my financials, making sure all my numbers exactly where I want them to be, from outbound to conversions to revenue to bank to everything. I check all my conversions every single day, and which allows me to make better decisions. And then it takes about an hour just to make sure I'm totally dialed. And then from there, it's like it'll be a mixture throughout the day. It could be sales calls. It could be on podcasts. It could be speaking engagements. It could be you know, things that are going to generate revenue. It could be taking time to build out, you know, things that are going to make more money down the road, such as maybe building a new cold email sequence or creating new copy that's going to convert, or filming YouTube ad videos, right? So I'm doing things that I know are going to generate traffic and awareness, right? Or conversions. So it's all tied together. I probably should take more breaks, but I don't. I mean, I literally hustle all the way through until about 5:30, right? Then I shut it off, right? I shut it off. And then from there, I then go and do dinner and everything else. But it's very focused. It's very intentional. And are there days where I need to open the laptop up, you know, late at night? Yeah, absolutely. But at the end of the day, it's understanding, like, what is going to truly move the needle? What's going to bring attention, awareness, what's going to drive income or future income for the business? What's going to serve your clients? How's it going to help them, right? So, and that's really it. So it's like either take care of your clients or get more revenue, right? And especially early on, as a small team of just me and my couple of VAs, that's the major focus. Until I start scaling up and bringing on more people, that's going to be the focus for a long time until I can do, you know, bigger, you know, higher level things that we want to do.
Yep.
Well, I just love how straightforward your line of thinking is throughout the day, right? Sometimes I think pseudo entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs, there's just so many distractions in their thought process throughout the day. And it's just for you, like, very clean and straightforward and extremely intentional and strategic.
Yeah.
So thank you for speaking and like giving us a snapshot of a day in the life.
Yeah. Sounds exciting, man. I'm glad you get up that early. I think I'm still waking up at like 8 a.m., you know? We stepped away from corporate America so I could sleep in, and yeah. Now my kids have to get up for school. And I'm like, wait a second. I feel like now I have a boss and they're 3 years old, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. So for me, I really need my quiet time, right? Like, and I've tested a little bit. You're going to appreciate this. So I have an Aura ring. And I realized I wasn't getting enough sleep. My kid goes to sleep super, like, way too late, right? He just won't go to sleep any earlier. So it jams me up. So I tried changing, you know, sleeping in a little bit later to, like, 6 o'clock. And then from there, getting the day going, maybe working out a little bit later, do some stuff a little bit later. But I found me personally, morning is when I process the best. Like, I mentally process. I found that that's my thing. Yeah. Yeah. I don't like it, but it is what it is. So right. I'm like, I am just better and more focused. I get the most results too, which is really key.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and one of the things that I've found is, again, going back to the ambivert with not necessarily this high natural level of energy and always want to talk to people and stuff, I have to do that type of work at my optimal peak, we call it peak performance time, right? And so for you, it sounds like that's in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I think an important part of entrepreneurship, because no one's going to discipline you from the external, is that you have to sort of hack your own like biorhythms and figure out like, how do I function, which you figured out how to do. And like, for me, that's more like mid morning to early afternoon when I can really crank it up. Right. And so I have to apply a lot of my toughest work then, or like maybe the work that's more sales or more externally driven, or like extroverted oriented, because I just need that energy. Right. And so really interesting and great, like laying it all out. And I think clearly you've got a lot of discipline to execute on it too. Right. Which I think a lot of people might figure it out, but
that's
they don't
implement.
Huge. So that's another part of the entrepreneurial.
Yeah. You have to have discipline.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, and this is why it's like, it's so clear to have clarity and discipline. Because it's going to make your life a lot easier. So for example, like I have a lot of entrepreneurs and they get caught on things that just do not matter. Like just don't matter. Like they waste a whole day trying to build a logo on Canva. I'm like, forget about it. Like the logo is actually not that relevant. Like literally go hire someone on Fiverr, pay them $50, have them make it. Okay. And you focus on things that are going to truly actually impact the business, you know, or just create something really quick and just move on. Like you can always change it down the road. Like I'll give you an example. The first logo we put together, this is my first logo for my business we put together. We threw something here pretty fast. We're like, okay, we roll with it. It is what it is. And I didn't realize until maybe 3 months in, someone messages me and they're like, hey, or they respond on one of my posts. They're like, hey, just so you know, your logo looks like this like international something really bad. I'm like, what? And I looked it up. I'm like, oh my God, like only creepers would know this. Yeah. So immediately I changed it, right? But the point was like, that wasn't intentional, but clearly not many people knew about it, but you take imperfect action and you keep on moving, but you focus on the things that you know are going to truly move the needle for the business. It's not about perfection. It's just you do your best and you refine and you iterate constantly so you can constantly get better over time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think we've ever launched anything where the stars aligned, right? I mean, we bought like a lake house last year and it was like, we just like kind of did it on the fly. And now, you know, it's a rental property and like, oh my gosh, like wasn't perfect. Like the nonprofit, this podcast, like nothing we've done. And so I think for people who are control oriented or analytical, it's really hard to let go of that.
It is.
It's like, because even now, like Carrie will do something and I'm like, I want to spend like 6 hours like tweaking it so it's perfect. And it's like, that's not a good use of my time. Certainly not a good use for our relationship, right?
It happens though. It happens.
Yeah. That's so life. You have to be able to step out. I mean, you still need to produce quality work in the end, right? So you can't go so fast that you miss it altogether. But there's so much value in just like moving forward. And I talk a lot about how life rewards action, right? In the end, like life just doesn't matter what kind of biology, like you just need to take action. So totally on point. Yeah. Marcus, there's a lot of other places I want to go with this, but one in particular is just your use of technology, outsourcing, VAs. Let's talk a little bit about that because I think that's where a lot of people get held up. I know that's where we've been held up in the past, is just like not willing to either let go of control, not willing to invest the money, or then not properly training people once you do bring them on, because we've made that mistake.
Properly vetting
your help. So can you just walk us through your mindset on any of those aspects you want to hammer home?
Yeah. So I'll say, let's start with the hiring first, right? Because it kind of feeds into everything else. So as a small business like us, it's every person you bring on becomes such a massive impact to your business, right? Like First is just me. I bring on one VA. That's 50% of my company, right? Like, you know, I bring another person. They're 33% of my company. So to me but I understand that means, okay, you know what? I need to set them up for success. And I've been really fortunate because in my prior life, I had hired and trained so many people and I realized the importance of having process in place. Yeah. So for example, like if I eyes out and train them properly, I know I can automate my thinking and bestow upon them what I need them to do as long as I do a good job with that. So for example, like I just brought a new VA 3 weeks ago. She's freaking crushing it. And it wasn't like I hired her and said, okay, cool, go do this. What I want her to do is specifically do direct cold outreach for me, because I need her to focus primarily on that to be able to send 100 to 200 plus emails a day and generate interest and book appointments off of that as additional lead source to kind of spread everything else out. Now, I didn't say, okay, cool, good luck, go. I went through and I created I use a tool, it's a free project management software called Asana, very simple to use. And I created SOP, standard operating procedures, for every single step I need her to do. So if she was to stand behind me and watch my computer, I'm like, step one, here's how you scrape leads. Here's the tools that you need. Here's how you do it. Step one, do this. Step two, do step three. And I mapped it out. And then I typed it out as well. And I recorded the videos, right? And then I created different SOPs from scraping leads to, hey, here's our CRM. Here's how you upload. Here's how you process through Neverbounce, verify the emails, and here's why it's important. And then here's how you go through and you put it in the CRM. Here are the templates for you. Here's how you use them.
Yep.
Right. So I'm teaching them step by step, every from start to finish, whatever needs to be done for everything I need to do, from managing my Instagram to managing that piece to how we edit content. Step by step, I create an SOP for every single thing. Record it, made it super simple. And then when I onboard them, I train them. I make sure I verify that they're good. They're going through the they can watch the video recorded, and I also walk them through as well. So now I'm setting them up for success. On top of that, I use another tool. It's very simple. I use Slack. Most of you know what Slack is, right?
Yep.
So we have Slack all set up as well. So that way we get different channels for different things, different tasks that they do. So that way they can drop questions in there, whatever it's going to be. But it's also, it's not just, I don't want someone who's just going to do what I say, iterate, and make things better.
Yeah.
And that was really important when they first started. I told them, I'm like, literally, I want you to make things better. Like I got this protocol running, but as you were adapting, as we get different responses, as we get different things that show up, I want you to iterate. And you can ask me and we'll figure it out together, but then let's update the SOP. So even the SOPs we initially built, we've refined them multiple times over now. And we've created new SOPs based on new things that we're uncovering. So that's been key. So Slack's been really key for communication to make sure we're totally, really, totally good. And then on top of that, we have a one-on-one every single week as well. So we go through, I review all of last week's stuff. I answer any questions. I make sure they walk away knowing exactly what needs to be done, what the mission is, what issues they have, how do we proceed forward. And that way they know and they feel really, really good. So the tools I use are very simple. Asana, I use Slack. Now I do use some automation stuff as well to kind of automate some things to make it really easy. I use like Zapier, but that's more complex, but still, it's all automated intentionally, so that way they know what to do. They know what to do. They're rock and roll. So, for example, like one of the things I have her do is every first thing she does in the morning, one of them, she updates all my trackers, all the KPIs, all the key performance indicators, so I know exactly where everything stands. So the first thing I do once my kiddo's, he's good to go, I check my tracker. I make sure our numbers are key. I check on the team, I make sure anything's dialed, and we make decisions from there. But it's key to build in these SOPs and things, because what happens is, yes, they might make some errors up front, but they're short-term errors as long as you can coach on the spot. Mm-hmm. So you coach on the spot. I see anything that's wrong, I coach on the spot. I look what she's doing. It's not right. No problem. I go, I film a quick Loom video or Vidyard video and say, hey, actually, quick tweak. This is what you want to do. Boom. So we're constantly communicating via Slack, using videos, using that, or I'll do an audio message, drop it in there so she can hear it. And that way she has a clear direction of what to do as well. So we have constant communication. I do have her, since she's new, to provide me updates on the hour as well. Some people don't like that. They might think it's a little micromanaging. For me, it helps me ensure that she knows what she's on track, right?
Yep.
And then I can give her feedback. So we'll do that for the first 4 weeks. And then from there, we only do end of day updates and weekly updates as well. But it's having systems in place to keep the machine running nonstop.
Yeah. And so let me just ask one question on this, and then I'll kick it over to Kerry. What do you say to the person, you know, the entrepreneur who says, yeah, I don't want to invest the money into that because I don't have it, or I haven't created it yet, so I'm not willing to invest the money, or I want to control it myself. Like, I want to make sure it's good quality, so I need to be the person doing it. Like, so, and you sort of answered that, but maybe how would you attack that directly?
Yeah. So at the end of the day, what you have to ask yourself is how important are your goals that you want to accomplish? That's the first thing. All right. If you have really big goals you want to accomplish and you know you need to get more help for that, then you know your answer. You got to find a way to invest. Point. At the end of the day, entrepreneurs should not just bring on employees just to bring on employees. That it's not just like, I'm going to hire people to do stuff I don't want to do. That's not the key. The key is, when you bring people on, are they going to make your company better? Are they going to make your company better? Are they going to help you grow your company? So each person I brought on has been very intentional. I'm like, okay. I'm like, to give you an example, like what I did was I literally mapped out all the things I did on a weekly basis, daily basis. I mapped it all out. Then I chose a task I could outsource, right? And then, you know, it depends on what you want to do first. A lot of times, if it requires a lot of skill, you might still have to be hands-on first. Until you can really outsource that or afford someone that could truly do a good job with it, right? So that could be a little bit different. But there's going to be certain things that, like, the first thing you should probably outsource are all the administrative things that are really low hourly cost tasks. Because those are the things that you can pay someone for a very small amount, whether it's in a third world country, you know, and for them, it's a lot of money. Like, my VAs make $253 an hour, and for them, that takes care of their whole family for the month. Like, they're ecstatic. And then I have incentive bonus as well. So take care of all low-end tasks that you can just outsource out first. Administrative, things that are repetitive, things that you cannot automate, right? Yep. So I automate any tasks I can through different softwares, and then anything I can't automate that requires more thinking, but it still is below what I want to do myself that I know doesn't generate revenue, I outsource to a virtual assistant, right? Or to some other employee. And then everything else I'm still do myself. Now, at the end of the day, when you are scaling up, you do have to give some trust out. You have to trust your people. If you are unable to trust your people, then you are not going to be able to scale the level you want to go to. Like, you have to trust your people. Otherwise, you will get stuck. And instead of working for somebody else, you are working for yourself, but now you're trapped by your own company. You become stuck in there. It was no different when my parents had a restaurant. They got stuck. It was a prison for them, right? They weren't able to get, they had to be there to make money, right? So that was hard because they weren't willing to hire more people to scale up. So you'll reach a tipping point where you typically will have to scale. So I think about a lot of businesses, generally speaking, most of the time, like, I believe most people can, you know, get away with not hiring people. You know, we hit about the 250 to 500K mark. You depending on your offer, you could probably get away with not hiring people, depending on what your offer is going to be. Totally. But once you start getting beyond that, you have to start bringing people in. You have to bring people in. You have to cut into profit. You got to reinvest back into the business. And again, it's an investment, not necessarily a cost. If you know spending $1 or $4, there's no reason to not think about investing in it that way. And only when you really give out some trust are you going to be able to scale yourself up and multiply yourself.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I appreciate the deep dive, and I do want to switch gears a little bit because I think you're going to have some really cool mindset on this. But the power of follow-up. I think a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs or even struggling entrepreneurs really have a tough time with this idea of following up and following through on different areas of their business. And I
Yes.
would just love to hear how you've grown that. I'm assuming you didn't like day one have that skill, but it's clear that that's high priority, important for you, especially when the idea is like, how do I generate revenue today, right? So what's your thought process and how can someone grow in that skill and not be annoying and over the top with it, but kind of hit the sweet spot in terms of effectiveness?
And Carrie, you're talking specifically
Yeah, so
for prospects, right? Is that I just wanted to clarify. So like someone who might be a potential customer, follow up on that spot. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, so you are spot on, right? So most of the time, yes, first time you have a conversation with a potential prospect, they say, yes, take my money. I want to work with you. That'd be awesome, but it's not gonna be every time. That's just life, right? So there's a couple of things you can really do. So I think the first thing that's really important is as you're going through that sales process with that prospect in that meeting with them, have you truly uncovered all their wants, needs, and desires? Are they truly qualified? Are they a good fit for you? And do they believe you are a good fit for them, right? Whatever offer you have to give them, right? So that's the first thing. And then from there, you need to have really clear next steps on what's going to happen. And what m the mistake some p many, many people make, salespeople in general, in entrepreneurs, they say, oh, cool. The follow-up is they're going to go back, they're going to think about it, and then they're going to let me know. Well, joke's on you. You'll probably never hear them ever again. Okay?
Not
So,
a funny joke, though, but yeah.
yeah. Any joke, right? And especially as an entrepreneur, that could be your livelihood, right? That could be, money for your family, your kids, whatever it's going to be. So you need to make sure you maximize every qualified opportunity. So it's very simple. So start off with, like, when you're in that sales process, make sure you have a really good, firm next step. So let's just say, for example, if they say, listen, we love, we want to work with you, want you, to be our consultant or whatever. Yes, 20K seems totally fine, but why, well, God, before I move forward, I have to make sure that, I don't know, we get this PPP loan. All right, cool. Perfect. So when's that going to happen? Well, I've already submitted all the paperwork to the bank, and I should know this week. Cool. When this week? Well, I should know by Friday. Okay, cool. So if I understand you right, Friday, you'll probably know if you got approved or not. Assuming you get approved, you'll be ready to move forward with us. Is that correct? Yes. Okay, perfect. So what happens if that does not get approved? So you're just gonna walk through every single possible situation. Oh, well, if it doesn't get approved, then we won't be able to find funding. Or I'm gonna find a way to get the funds. Okay, cool. So how are you gonna do that? Start diving deep. So these are uncomfortable questions, but you want to dive to really understand, like, help them map through in their brain, like, well, you know what? I'm gonna go and I'm gonna cut some budget here and budget X and move it over here and probably cut some from here. So yeah, so worst case scenario, I'm gonna find a way. Okay, cool. So is it safe to say, regardless of what happens Friday, you will find a way to move forward with this? Is that right? Yes.
I'm sold,
Beautiful.
Marcus. Just
So
take
at
my
that,
money.
okay. Oh yeah. Yeah. Just take them off. At that point, right? You can either go for signing the agreement. Hey, cool. So no problem. So this is done. You just gotta get the funds. That's gonna be Friday or Monday. That's pretty easy. Boom. Okay, so then you take a particular paper. Now, let's just say, for example, maybe they just can't do it. It has to be the loan. No problem. Okay, cool. Let's set up a time now, Monday, and let's just circle back around so you can give me an update. We can plan out next steps from there. Because if you get the PPP, if you get that loan approved, then we got to figure out when we get the money and how can we move from there. So how does Monday at 1 o'clock, we jump on a quick call and we discuss that. Perfect. Boom. So now you have clear next step. You're making sure they know what's expected of them and what's expected of you. And that way, that's really, really key. Now, sometimes It's not going to be clean as that, right? So maybe like they have to talk to multiple people, or maybe you're not even that deep in the sales process. Maybe they had reached out a lead. They say, hey, listen, a website lead, I'm interested. And you're like, yeah, awesome. I'm fired up. Cool. They went to my website. They checked me out. They put the form in. All right. They want to talk. And then, you know, you call them. They say, oh yeah, call me later. And then it's like crickets, right? You're like back and forth, right? So if that's the case, and that's a situation, you also need a good way to follow up as well, right? So you should have multiple tools in your back pocket and how you want to do outreach. So for example, you know, it could be, you know, after they have that, they reach out for that lead, you give them a call, they say, hey, listen, we're going to call you back, no problem. If you have their email, no problem, you can shoot them a quick email right after. Hey, listen, hey, looking forward to chat with you, just want to make sure you have my information as well. You know, hit me up once you have some time later today. Okay, wait a second, maybe a day or two, right? They can't try calling again. And your goal is really, you just want to set up a time to have a conversation with them. So at that point, let's just say you call again and you have to leave a voicemail. They're not there. No problem, okay? You know, wait another day, shoot them an email with something of high value to them and relevant to them.
Amen.
So let's just say, for example, they say they're having, you sell, I don't know, let's just say you sell, I don't know, maybe you have a small software company, you sell an HR software, right? And you send them a quick email, you know, a couple of days later, it's like, hey, listen, like, look forward to chatting with you. By the way, you might like this blog post that I put together, you know, for HR managers. It covers 3 tips on how you can reduce turnover. It might have nothing to do with your offer, but it's a value to them. Right. Send it over to them. Hey, man, once you're ready. So boom. And you start having these old breadcrumbs, if you will, you know, mm-hmm. that you're leading them to the conversation with you. So they're getting warmed up, more nurtured. So that way you have multiple pieces from, it could be LinkedIn, it could be video emails, it could be whatever, where you're providing value, you're following up. And that's really key. The key is if you provide value each time, it's a little bit easier, right? So you can have one piece of outreach be, hey, let's just get on a call. Next one can be, hey, here, by the way, here's this free X. So you can constantly kind of work them through as well. But the key is having a sequence to do it, a pattern that you can run that helps engage them and warm them towards getting on a call with you to close. Now, if you want to get hyper strategic, right, you can also throw on there, if you use Facebook, a Facebook pixel, and you can retarget them with ads, right? So I do that. So I have retargeting ads. So anyone that hits any of my sites, they're seeing ads nonstop. So they're not nonstop. So I have different things that are awareness to conversion. That's some are just like, hey, here I am. Check me out. And some are like, hey, let's do this. Hey, check this out. Boom. Yep. All designed again to move them into that sales funnel. It's all very intentional, right? But that's a little more complex. But those are strategies you can start adding in that will help actually make your funnel hyper efficient. And that's a key, is being able to take a lead that's cold or even warm and move down as quickly as possible, right? Cause I know, like, I get an inbound lead into one of my funnels, about 14 days they'll be closed, right? So I know that, boom, from start to finish. So it gets getting nurtured through by the system. So some of the strategies right there on how I do follow up.
Yeah, so beautiful. And because I think most people just get caught in that trap, like you were starting to talk about, it's like, oh, they didn't respond, so let me just send them another email. Well, then you're 2-3 emails in, and now all of a sudden you become a curse in their life that they're trying to avoid. Yes. Right. And I think the other thing that we can do with folks is just literally ultimately ask too. Like, you can just say, hey, look, here's the value I've been adding. Like you said, you told me you wanted to move forward. Like, should we put this on pause or whatever? And I don't like to go there, but that can be a stopping point too, where, you know, you just need to move on. And if your funnel's big enough, to your point, it's all good, because you'll have other people that are ready to rock, right? But if your funnel's weak, that's when you get lost in the abyss of not effective work.
Desperation.
Chasing people and then feeling bad and, you know, that good jazz that comes along with, you know.
So, and I'll say too, like, and don't be afraid to incorporate humor, right? Like, like, that's the thing I think a lot of people kind of forget.
Personality,
right?
Yeah,
if you throw like a funny meme, you know, on your third one right in there, like, you know, like, you know, like, it's, I don't know, I don't, one of the funny ones I've done before, it's like a Full House meme. It kind of works if you know, if you're that generation, right? So it's like a Full House meme of like, You're right. Of the one of the Olsen twins, it's like, I think she's like being like super annoying. Like, it's like, I hope I'm not being annoying. It's like, I'm like, hey, I hope I'm not being, I hope you don't, you know, hope I'm not being like this toddler here. Like, you know, if you get, you know, if you get my drift, let me know what you want to do. So that way they laugh a little bit of levity, and then, you know, it could be powerful. Or I've had ones where, even where it's as simple as, hey, is everything okay?
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, I'm so sorry. This happened and this happened and this happened. I do want to talk, but I just need some time because we're getting audited by the IRS.
Right, yeah.
It's a whole thing. I just, give me a little bit of time. Oh, cool. Well, that makes perfect sense. A lot of time when they're not responding that warm lead, there's usually something else going on in their life. Ooh. You know, sometimes it's, maybe they don't want to work with you, but most of the time it's like they got something else going on in their personal work life. Don't take it personal. You just do your best and keep loading your funnel.
Yep.
And know that you've got a lot of different tools in the tool belt, right?
So that's right.
You illustrated that very well.
You should. If you don't get some, per Marcus Chan today. Hey, thanks so much for being with us. You know, one of the reasons we wrote our book and we've launched the podcast is to just help bring people closer to like what matters most. And when we say that, we talk about that on like a macro level in terms of what matters most in life, but then also on more of a compartmentalized level, what matters most in business. And I think some couple of things that I've got from you today, and I've had these thoughts before, I've been through it before, but just like a really clear reminder of like, stay focused on things that are going to produce real revenue, genuinely yes. move your business forward. And if you're doing activity, if you're investing resources, outsourcing, like have clear targets of what that's going to create. And again, like have intentional follow-up. So you've definitely hammered that home. One last question, I'll have Carrie wrap us up, but mistakes. Give us, you know, pretty quickly, like give us like, man, what was like your biggest botch, you know, going entrepreneurial, or what was the biggest top mistake or two that come to mind? Fire away. Anything?
Yeah. So I remember one of the things I did, I remember it was when I first started, right? So I'm used to like, in when I was in corporate America, I just had people do stuff for me, right? Like I had a marketing team, I had a lot of assistants, yeah. I had a lot of resources. So like when we did the webinars or live events or stuff like that, like that was virtual, it was all taken care of pretty much. I just had to show up basically, right? So, you know, it was very different. And I remember my first live webinar that I ran, and I'm like, okay, you know what? Like, I had like studied it. I'd done everything proper in terms of like, you know, email sequence, getting it, making sure people showed up, getting registrants and all that stuff. It was great. One thing I did not do is my own fault. It was a new webinar software. I can't remember what software. I wasn't using Zoom at the time because this was before pandemic. So Zoom was like popular, not as popular as now.
WebEx or something.
Right. Yeah, I think it was like Webinar Jam or something. Or I can't remember what it was. But so I started running the webinar and I was really excited because I already saw already like I had a pretty high show up, right? I'm like, oh, this is going to be an awesome webinar. And I had an offer at the very end that I was going to pitch. I'm like, okay, this is going to be a great revenue machine right here. And I get on there and I'm going for like 10 minutes and I look in the chat and they're like, we can't see your screen. Oh, we can't see your camera. I'm like, what? And I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. I'm like, oh, I'm like freaking out. I can literally see like the participants dropping like flies. Yeah. They're falling off. I'm like, oh God. Like, and I think like at that point, like by the time I figured it out, it wasn't crazy. I think we had 100 people show up live. And by the time I figured it out, we were down to like 30 or 40 people. So a ton of people just dropped off. So by the time, like even as you go through the webinar, you have even more of a drop off by the time you get to, you know, the actual pitch. And I'm like, oh man. So I mean, I closed zero business off that. And I was pissed at the software. I was pissed at myself. And I got done. I'm like, I'm all angry. I'm like, I was going to email the support. Like, oh, stupid webinar jam. Like, why jam me up here? And then, like, I started going through and I realized I just didn't have my settings set up properly. It was my own fault. And, you know, for me, it was just another, and I'm huge on preparation. That's why I really was pissed at myself. I'm like, I really didn't need, I practiced my presentation, but I didn't practice actually with, like, you know, on Webinar Jam. I didn't practice it on there. Yeah. It wasn't a software's fault. I just used it wrong. And for me, that was like, oh, that's such a major aha, right? But also on top of that, I'm like, oh, man, like, all those people that did show up, you know, the other 60 or so that dropped off, they probably thought I was such a bozo. And I'm like, that's not like, I'm a new business. I don't want to look like a bozo. And here I am, you know, flopping on my first webinar, right? So that was a huge learning opportunity. So I obviously learned from there. So I ran another webinar 2 weeks later, which is really, really successful. But it's only because I practiced and made sure I had all my software done properly to begin with. So it's one of those things where it's, you know, never get too overconfident. I got a little overconfident because I had done live webinars before. You know, get your ducks in a row, learn from it, and move on, right? I didn't give up. I didn't say I'm done. I recovered. I kept going. And I think I ran a live webinar every 2 weeks for the next like 4 or 5 months, right? And they converted really, really well, right? So, but I learned a lot by doing that. But that's the key, is, you know, at the end of the day, I think of entrepreneurship, it's a lot like the movie The Martian. Have you seen the movie The Martian with Matt Damon?
No.
Really good movie.
I have.
And one of the scenes he says out there, he's stuck on Mars. The preface is on. Okay. Like, and as he's, each time he solves a problem, another problem shows up. Right. And what he talks about in there is like, you know, in life, when you have a problem, you solve it and another one's going to show up and you solve that one. But, you know, up here, if you continue to solve the problems you have, each problem, as you solve each problem, eventually, if you solve enough problems, you get to come home. And I think of entrepreneurship as just like that. As an entrepreneur, you are throwing problems every single day, many problems. As you solve one problem, you'll have another problem. You solve that one, you get another one. But if you solve enough problems, you will reach the level of impact and income you are looking to do if you choose to solve enough problems.
I love that. That's powerful. We wrote our book and there's an entire chapter on decision making and problem solving. And I don't think it's talked about enough. I mean, that's why entrepreneurs get paid so well. They effectively solve complex problems, right? So, well, thank you so, so much, Marcus. Where can people find you? Where's the best place for people to access you, tap into more of your content?
Yeah, awesome. So you can find me on LinkedIn, super easy to find. Look up Marcus Shantos in the tagline. You can also head to my website, which is sixfiguresalesacademy.com. Lots of free resources in there as well.
Awesome. And we are huge fans of Marcus's content. Highly recommend following him on all the major channels. And we'll put some notes for people in terms of follow-up and getting access to you and some of your services. And just a ton of takeaways for the audience to dig in deep and really start to work to implement and apply. So thanks for getting into the nitty gritty. And I hope everybody enjoys the grind and have an awesome rest of the day. Take care, everyone. Thanks for listening to today's episode.
Please subscribe and leave a review and be sure to visit tandemconsulting.co/talks.